We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Here at the Black Information Network, we know how important it is for you to start your week off energized, engaged, and enlightened. There are always major stories that break over the weekend, and we feel you should know about the ones we are talking about today. So stay tuned for our weekend recap, featuring BIN correspondent and the host of Civic Cypher, Q Ward. This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. Q Ward, welcome back to the weekend recap. How have you been, sir? It's been a while.
First of all, thanks for having me back.
Always.
And I've been okay, bro. I've been, as you know, moving around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes very exhausted, sometimes very excited, but never more excited than when I get to sit down with you and do what we do.
Listen, the feeling is obviously mutual, and I know that we have some stories that we're going to break down for our listeners today. Mm-hmm. So I feel we should not keep them waiting. Plus, it'll be good to have these conversations. So first up in the news, this comes from OutKick.com, a name I'm sure you're familiar with. This is a football player. Cam Newton,
yes, indeed,
has apologized for his role in a wild scuffle at a 7-on-7 youth football camp on Sunday. During the camp held at Coretta Scott King Young Women's Leadership Academy in Atlanta, Georgia, Newton fought with several men who approached him from all sides. Despite being outnumbered, the 6'5", 240-pound respectably held his own and threw a couple solid punches. Eventually, security came and broke up the scuffle. The coaches of the opposing team, Top Shelf Performance, both said that Newton allegedly started the entire thing by taunting in the parking lot. TJ and Steph Brown said that the former NFL star wanted to bet on the upcoming game. Quote, "Sunday comes. I'm walking through the parking lot, walking to the field," TJ said. He goes on to say, Cam jumps out of his car and yells, "Hey, y'all. Hey, all that sorry expletive deleted ain't going to work today. What we betting today? What we betting?" Unquote. Brown's team had beaten Newton's C1N team on Saturday, the day before he allegedly made the taunts. Quote, "I'm like, I ain't betting you, bro. I already bet you 3-4 times. You got to beat me first. I'm sorry. I already beat you 3-4 times. You got to beat me first," TJ said. OutKick's Alejandro Avila pointed out that all this sounds like something Newton would do, but he also said it seems odd to accuse Newton of starting the fight since he seemed to be on the defensive during conflict. The former quarterback also acknowledged that the situation started with words. Regardless of who started the whole thing, Newton offered a sincere apology for his role in the scuffle on the 4th and 1 with Cam Newton show. Let's take a listen to that right now.
"To every single high school player, to every single person of influence, to every single athlete, use my situation as a way to understand that in one moment, in one decision, your life can change just like that. And I let my emotions get the best of me. And it should not have been called for."
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
So let's start here. I know you know about this
mm-hmm.
fight. Give us your initial reaction to this. And is this something that is, you know, as the article mentioned, consistent with or inconsistent with his character? I famously am not as familiar with the characters that play sports, but, you know, give us your take.
First and foremost, before I give a take or an opinion, mm-hmm. there's some things that are important to point out. There's this thing that happens to people from our communities that reach the heights and levels of success that Cam Newton has. First of all, one in a million isn't even the right math. It might be something like one in 100 million or one in 1 billion that reached the heights that Cam has. You're talking about champion at every level, mm-hmm. Heisman Trophy winner, NFL MVP, you know, one of the best to ever play the sport at his height. He didn't have the sustained success that some others have. But as far as the heights that he reached, he's one of one almost. Mm-hmm. There's this thing that they call survivor's remorse. When you come from communities like, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, Detroit, Michigan, Compton, California, Newark, New Jersey, Houston, Texas, and I could go on, you know, mm-hmm. South Side of Chicago, you know, Cleveland, Ohio, you know, Philly. It's hard to,
be
to,
more.
To not
you
mention, you know, these places where I've lived and where I've been. When you make it from there, you have to beat a lot of odds just to get to adulthood, just to get to college. Mm-hmm. And then you get to college where you have hundreds of thousands of people competing for hundreds of jobs to get one of those jobs. And then to excel, you had to beat a lot of odds to get there.
I see what you're saying.
But when you know where you came from, you have this, in your mind, obligation to go back and to give back. And more often than any of us are comfortable with, you end up putting yourself in a bit of harm's way, yeah. in a bit of a crosshairs, because not everybody in those circumstances that you left, all of those people that are still there aren't happy that you made it out.
And they didn't.
Some of them are jealous. Some of them feel like you owe them something. Some of them just don't like to see you shine. Ironically, though, or not ironically, but on the flip side, some people are excessively proud of you. Mm-hmm. Some people are inspired by you. Some people look up to you. And that's who you go back for, mm-hmm. hoping that you can inspire, hoping that you can lift up. Now, you asked me about Cam's character. I won't pretend to know him well, but I have been lucky enough to spend some time in his company. And he's a top-tier guy. Mm-hmm. He actually has a sincere passion for the community that he came from and for all communities where there are people who look like he looks, who come from similar circumstances.
Okay.
So he does not go back to start conflict. He goes back to hopefully uplift, inspire, and move forward and provide access and opportunities for people who don't otherwise have them. And that's something that I've seen with my own eyes. I've been in person to witness it. The position that he took with his apology, though, the level of accountability, the lack of pointing fingers, you know, even to those that he was attacked by. And I noticed when we were reading earlier, it said that he threw some punches. The ironic thing is that he didn't. He was attacked by multiple people and he never threw a punch. Hmm. And still was able to, as far as observers say, come out the physical victor. Mm-hmm. Never off of his feet. People joked that his hat never even came off. Imagine getting jumped and your hat doesn't come off. And this isn't a baseball cap. This is like a fedora kind of hat. It would come off pretty easily in a scuffle.
Yeah.
He got jumped by a group of men. Hat never came off. He never had to throw a punch. And I don't think he was ever punched himself.
It just looked probably more violent on the, because I saw the video. Yeah. It looked a lot more.
Because there's so many people and there's so much movement. It definitely looks away. But the position that he took in the apology is to be applauded. I was actually really, really proud after I saw, because I saw this clip, you know, before we played it for our audience. And he didn't make excuses, a sincere apology where he pointed the finger at himself for allowing the situation to de-escalate, to escalate into something negative where someone or several people could have got hurt really bad.
Sure.
And where he knew that there were kids there that looked up to him and he knows that he was not the best example for them. He's again, the person being attacked in the video is him. But in the apology, there's no ands or buts. That was me and it was wrong and I shouldn't have and I'm sorry. Even by name to the people who the disagreement and physical altercation was with. He named those guys and apologized to those guys with no qualifiers, with no and buts. That was the part that I was most proud of in this moment. But it begs the question, Ramses, when if and when you reach that level of success, should you go back? Do you owe it to your community to go back? Because he said it in the clip that we played, in one moment, everything could change.
Yeah.
And how far or how bad things can change, we know. It's not always a scuffle where everybody leaves on their feet unharmed. Sometimes
it gets worse.
You know, this generation don't like to fight as much.
Yeah.
They would rather
make short work of it, you know, of a conflict. Saying? Yeah.
So this could have went
a different way,
as bad as possible. So again, I'd pass that question to you. Do you or should you keep it real and go back home once you've reached these heights? Are you obligated to? Is it a good idea? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that maybe it's more of a case by case basis, you know, because I know that feeling. You mentioned that feeling of like, it's almost like survivor's remorse or like a guilt of coming from this really, it's a place with a lot of hopelessness for a lot of people. And then you get to the point where you're a celebrated individual. I'm not going to act like I'm an NFL person or whatever, but there's people I've never met who know my name. And this has been true for decades because of the type of work that I do. I'm not a special person. I just ended up getting very lucky and doing something that was very cool. This wasn't even my plan, nor was it yours. I know that for certain. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you do feel that kind of calling to go back and say, I was just like you. I was here. I sat in these chairs in this classroom. And kind of pay it forward. You know, I know that as I get more gray hairs and age and, you know, all that sort of stuff, that there will be a time when there will be less days in front of me than there will be behind me. And as that sobering thought kind of takes center stage in my life, I'll realize that I'm a part of a movement. I'm a part of a story, a tapestry, a people that deserves to live and thrive beyond just my specific timeline, be it 100 years, I'll be optimistic, my little 100 year period of life on this planet. And so developing the next group, the next individual, whatever, to function in this capacity in which I'm functioning right now is very important. But I think, as you mentioned, you know, it's not always so easy, because I heard a story when I was growing up. I used to think, you know, when I get older and I get a really nice car, I'm going to take that car to the neighborhood where I grew up. And I'm going to play my music really loud and everybody's going to see, oh, what a cool car. And everybody's going to be inspired by it. And that's what I thought. And a friend of mine told me, he's like, you know what? That's probably not something that people would appreciate the way that you think. And I'm like, how could he tell me this? Because I actually am from this place. But he had a foresight that I've come to appreciate now. Because I certainly wouldn't take my car into a neighborhood where people are wondering where their next meal is coming from. It just doesn't feel fair. Mm-hmm. And despite my noble intentions, you know, you could end up sucked into a fight that you don't want to be involved in. Add to that last point that I'm not a perfect man. Cam Newton's not a perfect man. And so, you know, him saying, you know, let's bet on the game. You know, he believes in his kids that he's working with. Let's bet on the game. You know, I put my trust in, I put my money on it, right? And I'm not apologizing for him, because wrong is wrong and you shouldn't, you know, that's a taunt, then it's a taunt, you know what I mean? But he's not perfect, I'm not perfect. It's really easy for us to misstep and then end up kind of at the receiving end of what happened to Offset, what happened to, you know, any of these rappers that you and I know from our world, our hip hop world, where they end up in a neighborhood they didn't really belong in anymore. Just fiscally, it doesn't make sense for them anymore. So that's case by case basis.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And even like the idea of it being a taunt, I don't know this to be true, but I bet and pardon me using that same language and terminology, but I'd be willing to bet that wasn't the first time that TJ and Cam said the words, let's bet to each other about this competition. This does not seem like the first time that they've encountered each other.
Yeah.
And you and I have been in spaces as athletes, as commentators, even as just part of the audience in very, very highly competitive atmospheres.
Yeah, it gets like that.
That's how it gets.
Yeah.
And it's not even meant in a way that's negative or bad. You know, I went bowling with my younger brother last week, you know, and after they finished bowling in their league, some guys stayed to bowl some more. And the first thing they said, once they realized they were staying, what you got on it? And out of their pockets came what we call bank rolls.
Rubber band
and
banks.
Rubber band banks, bro. Boy, yoing. And on the table, all of a sudden, there were hundreds of dollars.
Man, listen.
You know, and it was in all fun. There was no anger. There was no angst, except once the competition starts, it gets real serious.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to be the one to lead.
The stakes are higher.
Money. The stakes are higher. But
yeah, it's not just
it's
ego.
Just the nature of competition with guys who are really good at something that are in this hyper testosterone atmosphere.
Yeah.
And again, the wrong neighborhood, the wrong time.
It could go
wrong. Even just a bad day with people who would normally be cool with.
Yeah.
It could go wrong.
Well, you know, I appreciate that insight coming from you. You really do often provide some perspective that is certainly welcome around here, because
I
always learn a little bit more. We actually have another sports story to get to. But next up on our list, this comes from News One. Georgia investigators are searching for answers after the body of a black man was found hanging from a tree last week along a hiking trail in North Georgia. According to Fox 5, the body of Trevante Jamal Schubert Helton was found by Georgia deputies February 21st in the Swallow Creek Wildlife Management Area, located near Indian Grave Gap Road near Hiawassee. The sheriff's officer immediately posted about the incident on Facebook, confirming that deputies had found the man hanging from a tree. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation, which was asked to help local law enforcement with the investigation, identified the body on Thursday morning as a 29-year-old Trevante Jamal Schubert Helton from the town of Sauti Nacoochee. According to GBI, Schubert Helton's death seemed to be an isolated incident based on the preliminary investigation, but investigators are still waiting on the autopsy by the GBI medical examiner's office. Spokesperson for the GBI told Atlanta Black Star that no additional information will be available until the autopsy report is completed. The investigation, of course, is still ongoing, but people are asking kind of a very obvious question, especially coming from Georgia and especially with him being black. Was this a lynching? So I know you are familiar with the story. And I mean, there's obviously not a whole lot we can talk about it, but, you know.
Not just familiar with the story, but familiar with the state of Georgia. Some of our listeners may know my mother, born in South Georgia. Most of her childhood spent in Macon in Bibb County, Georgia. And my grandmother spent a large portion of her life there, and a lot of my childhood was spent in Macon, Georgia as well. In the Deep South, which, you know, Ramses and I have had our experiences in the Deep South and probably one of the most volatile moments in the history of this country. I had conversations with Ramses on that road trip about what it's like to be outside of the city of Atlanta in the Deep South in America. And is this a lynching as a question to a man found, a black man found hanging from a tree? Like, what are we talking about? How is there a question mark there? But this country is very, very uncomfortable with the idea of overt practiced racism still. When you talk about it, you are made to look like the person that's gaslighting or playing the victim or whatever they want to call it. Even in instances like this where it's grotesquely obvious.
It's a lot of work to hang somebody from a tree.
Yes, even if they were killed in another way.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, symbolically, is to hang this man from a tree, this black man from a tree, is very, very obvious what happened here and what message was trying to be sent here. But we still have to tiptoe around topics like this because a large portion of our country is very comfortable with the acts of racism, but very uncomfortable with saying the words out loud.
Well, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, this is the process that we have to go through to let the investigators do the investigating. And then as often as it makes sense, let the courts decide what our shared reality will be, even if we have video evidence to the contrary.
I think that's the thing that stokes the reactions that people often get from us and people like us. We know what we see, and then someone else gets to interpret it from us for us.
And then that gets chronicled as the reality.
Yeah.
And so we have to govern ourselves from that vantage point. So with that in mind, for this story specifically, we're just going to have to wait on more developments. But for now, you know, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. If there's a rope around a black man's neck in Georgia and he's hanging from a tree.
Yeah.
Then that's what we call lynching.
Yes.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BIN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BIN.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
So
that way.
Black Information Network correspondent and the host of Civic Cypher, Q Ward, is here with us discussing the weekend's major stories. All right. This comes from the New York Times. The University of Florida has terminated all positions associated with diversity, equity, and inclusion at the school in compliance with new state regulations, according to a university memo released on Friday. The move comes almost a year after Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida signed a bill that largely banned the state that largely banned the state's public universities and colleges from spending federal or state money on DEI initiatives. In accordance with that law, Florida's Board of Governors, which oversees the state university system of Florida, also voted to prohibit the state spending on such programs at public universities. The University of Florida's terminations included closing the office of the chief diversity officer and halting all DEI contracts with outside vendors, according to the announcement on Friday. 13 full-time positions were eliminated, along with administrative appointments for 15 faculty members, a spokeswoman for the university said in an email. University is just the latest school in the state to eliminate DEI programs. Both the University of North Florida and Florida International University have already removed or started to phase out such programs. So this is kind of right up our alley here.
We are at a very interesting crossroads in the history of our country.
Mm-hmm.
When our former president was elected and we started to notice that the way the country responded to him, rhetoric, language, and behaviorally, I would point out things, and I think people heard them as hyperbolic, that we were trending toward working our way back to slavery times.
Mm.
And I remember even my own friends, when I said things like that, thought I was being ridiculous. No one will ever allow that to happen, Q. One of my closest friends said this to me. And I said, you have to not be paying attention to take that stance with the level of confidence that you took it with. To be reasonable and think that, I got you. But to plant your flag and stand on that with the confidence and full-chestedness that you just did means you're not paying attention.
I'm going to add something right here, if I may. So we follow D.L. Hughley,
yes,
on social media, and he posted something, this might have been yesterday, the day before, that really was disturbing. This is not new. This is nothing that surprised me, but it was just kind of another snapshot in the moment, recent memory, and I think it speaks to your point that you're making. So in the clip, and you're welcome to go check D.L. Hughley's timeline, I'm sure it's still there.
Shouts to D.L., by the way.
He is... or the camera, rather, is on an interviewer interviewing like Trump supporters, and they're interviewing just kind of white men in their Trump attire, head to toe, Trumped out. And
Trump mask, Trump hat, Trump flag, Trump suit, Trump shirt, jacket, tie, yeah, Trump sneakers.
Trump Kool-Aid, drinking it, right? So anyway, at some point in the video, They get to talking about maybe the 19th Amendment or some part of the Constitution that granted women the right to vote. And there's a gentleman, the gentleman being interviewed says, yeah, you know, that did happen. But, you know, I just don't think that was a good thing. Right. Now, this isn't some old decrepit man.
No, this kid's probably 23 years old.
Right? And I know that this is not the majority of people, but this does represent a facet of folks who exist.
Because all of us keep saying that this is not the majority of people, except enough of these people think this way that laws and bills keep being proposed, brought to court or brought to session and passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe it's not the majority, but it's way too many people for us to keep saying it's not the majority in a way that's so flippant and so everything will be okay.
Right. So I'm glad you added to that, because that makes sense to build that out that way. But you know, the point that you're making, the point that I was making, is that this is indeed representative of a significant number of people.
Tens of millions of people.
Sure. So for him to say, you know, I don't know that might've been the 19th Amendment. I'm not a Constitution scholar or anything like that, but it's like, I don't know that women having the right to vote was necessarily a good thing. And the interviewer goes, really? So who do you think should be allowed to vote?
It's important to point out that before he answered, he put in a sidebar, because he felt uncomfortable with what he knew he was about to say. So he had to first say, listen, women, black people,
yeah,
everybody's good.
That's what he's saying.
And everybody deserves
dignity
rights
and
dignity,
yeah,
and all that. And then
he says, but in terms of shaping the country, and deciding, you know, the laws that are going to govern this country. And just so you know, this, he was interviewing several people. These were just clips all pieced together. But the one gentleman in question that we're talking about right now, other people kind of echoed his sentiments in the other clips, but he was saying that, you know, I don't know that these other people voting on shaping the country is necessarily a good thing. And so he says, well, who should be shaping the country? Whose voices should matter? Whose votes should count? Effectually was the question. Mm-hmm. And the man says, no, Christians. And then I believe it was the person next to him that says, Christian white males. And then the main person being interviewed echoed that, said, yes, Christian white males.
So the theoretical weapon for the capitalist is right. Meritocracy.
There you go.
The idea of meritocracy is a theoretical weapon that capitalists use. This mm-hmm. is the land of the free, the home of the brave, the land of opportunity. Everybody's given a shot and everybody can win here. Everyone can be successful here. When we know the system is designed with intent for there to be people that don't win. Mm-hmm. That is not by chance. Sure. That's not a dice roll that didn't go your way. No, the system is designed intentionally for there to be a group that not only doesn't have success, but if they can help it, doesn't have anything. That's a way to control wages. That is a way to control opportunities. That is a way to point to this idea of fair that doesn't exist.
And there's just enough success that is shared among the other groups to be able to point to the examples of success to keep the masses from revolting.
Yeah, even when there's not just enough, they only need an example.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Look at Oprah. Oprah made it. Yeah. Why can't you?
She made it.
Obama was the president.
One out of 2 billion people made it. So how come you can?
LeBron worked hard.
Yeah, man. The assault on affirmative action, women's rights, diversity, equity, inclusion by lawmakers out loud in front of us. No one's pretending anymore. So that's why I said during the last administration mm-hmm. that we were in a very, very dangerous place. Because for years, Ramses, being overtly and outwardly racist mm-hmm. made you seem like a less decent person. So even racist people would pretend through their actions that they were not. And that was a better country to live
sure.
in. No matter what people say, everybody like, well, I'm glad we can finally see who they are. Why are you glad?
Nah, that's worse.
Because they get to now act how they've loud. Always wanted to without any consequence. They don't have to pretend to appear decent anymore because they realize, oh, that doesn't even matter. Nobody even cares. And those that are in power are on my side.
With that in mind, our final story comes from PennLive.com, ESPN commentator and host of First Take, Stephen A. Smith, was not thrilled when he saw United States President Joe Biden's new campaign video, to say the least. The video, first appearing on Mr. Biden's Instagram account in question, had the president asking 2 teenage boys and their father questions over a meal. The family in the video was black, and the 4 of them were eating fast food. The 2 boys were eating fried chicken, and the father was with a hamburger. In the video, Mr. Biden was trying to get to know the family and their future aspirations on a more personal level and amid his administration's campaign on student loan forgiveness. Smith played that clip of Mr. Biden's video on his show, the Stephen A. Smith Show, and angrily let his thoughts be known. Okay, so I'm going to read a couple quotes. Quote, why do I have a problem with this? First of all, we all know about racial tropes, do we not? Smith said. Goes on to say, number 2, President Biden, and respectfully, I got to ask you this question. What the expletive deleted are you doing eating fried chicken? You're 81. What 81-year-old you know is munching on fried chicken? You ain't been in the greatest health in a lot of people's eyes, you know. So eating some fried chicken ain't the greatest look. He goes on to further say, I recognize what he's done for HBCUs. I recognize what he's done for infrastructure. I recognize what he's done for forgiveness of student loans. I recognize those things. I'm not trying to expel or expunge the good that he has done. But this imagery, I want to know who the expletive deleted came up with that idea. Because you know Trump and the GOP are going to use that to their advantage, right? And they'll be right to do so. Now, just so you know, he went on and said a whole lot more, but this is kind of the thrust of his rant. So again, Stephen Smith is a sports guy. You and I listened to his show once in the car, I believe, years ago. A couple years ago, 2021.
Stephen A. Smith is one of the most popular voices in the sports entertainment space.
But I like Shannon Sharp now, and he's got the new show. So anyway,
well, they're on the new show together. Actually.
Oh, cool! All right, well then I like them both.
I'm gonna start with a story.
Okay.
My first residency as a DJ, mm-hmm. was in Chandler, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember as a part of my rider, there wasn't just pay, but there was a meal. Mm-hmm. They would provide me food every time I played. And I'll never forget this because it's ironic. It's hilarious. But it could have been seen as you'll hear. So I arrive, I'm setting up my equipment, and they've already like decked out this space for me. Like I'm up on the stage. I got like a lounger, a table, plenty to drink, and a plate of food. And on this plate of food is fried chicken and watermelon.
Mm.
Now, again, I'm on a stage in this place.
Yeah, I can't eat it in front of these people.
So these people have to watch me eat fried chicken and watermelon.
Yeah.
Now, I have not seen the chef yet, but I do know the owners of this place are white. And it was a very, very easy position to be offended in.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the two problems with that. One, the chef is Mexican. Two, the chicken is incredible. Here is my problem. Here, I think, is the problem with this trope in particular. Now, I have to admit, I haven't seen this ad.
Okay.
So I don't know how triggering the imagery is, if it looks intentionally.
It doesn't look
intentionally slanted in that way.
You have to be looking for it.
To remember, fried chicken is incredible.
Yeah. Everybody likes it.
Really good. Sure. Everyone eats it. Even with this idea that, you know, I should have collard green and chickens for the black people. Some people are overtly racist, and that is a trope, and that's, you know, what they're using it for. Some people are just eating food, and fried chicken is good, like really good. No, it's not healthy. And at 81, maybe you should have been more health conscious. Except Cane's tastes better than a salad. It just does. I know the salad is better for me, Randis. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a salad place across the street from the chicken place.
Yeah.
Walking distance.
Yeah. This is actually true.
The chicken place is better, bro. It tastes better to me. I know it's not better for me.
Yeah.
That's
funny.
So I don't know that they were like, hey, for these black kids, let's do fried chicken.
Yeah.
If they came to interview with us here in our studio and they were like, yo, we're getting the food, what y'all want?
Kansas,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They didn't pay us, so I don't want to keep saying the name of that place. But it's good, and it's right there. Yeah, you can get us two of those things with a lemonade.
And we'll run it.
Yeah. And we can run it.
Yeah.
And I don't think they'd be like, oh, let's not do that because they're black. Like, no, that's what they want to eat. Let's get it. So, like, again, I'm not defending the president because maybe that was what some person on his staff did. But sometimes, man, the food is just good.
Yeah.
It's just food, and that's what tastes good, and that's what they wanted.
I think that there's...
I'm sure they asked, what do you guys want to eat?
That's what I was going to say. Maybe that's what they wanted.
That's what they wanted.
Yeah, so... But, I mean...
That dude didn't know I wanted chicken and watermelon. That chicken and watermelon was amazing. I couldn't even be mad. It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I ate it on that stage. Once I tasted one of them wings, I'm like, oh, man. Tell the chef to come see me. I had to hug him. It was incredible. Right? So... If I could have ordered and I knew they had chicken and watermelon there, I probably would have ordered that.
Mm-hmm. Just knowing how good it was. Yeah.
But it looked crazy when I walked in and saw a plate of chicken and watermelon sitting there. So I can see both sides. I just don't think you should auto assume that racist imagery because those kids might have just wanted some fried chicken.
That's more than
and
fair.
A burger or whatever they were eating.
So, well, I know that Biden has got a lot of work to do. So he's, you know. Yeah, 6-1 happened.
Rams is so graceful and kind.
He's trying.
Biden has a lot of work to do, and he's trying.
No, he's trying to do something, and you know, two steps forward, one step back. Maybe that's what it is. But anyway, we'll leave it right there. Now you're all the way caught up. Don't forget, these and much more stories can be found at BINnews.com. I'd like to thank you always for coming and spending some time
with me. Thank you for having me, brother. Appreciate you.
Of course, today's guest once again is BIN correspondent and the host of Civic Cipher, Q Ward. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show is produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I'm your host, Ramses Jha, on all social media. And join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice
from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.